Julie Clam, you say that when you were a young person, you thought celebrities could save you.
I was, you know, not the most popular, not athletic, not academic. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I would watch these TV shows with these stars and see them in magazines and think, you know, if I was friends with one of them, you know, everybody in school would want to hang out with me. And you know, if I could bring Christopher Atkins from the Blue Lagoon to my ninth grade dance, I would be, you know, I would be the most popular girl in school. Didn't actually pan out. He was busy that day, I think. But, you know, I very much looked to them as, you know, that they had these charmed, wonderful lives that I certainly didn't feel like I had.
Why are we so starstruck as a people?
Well, it's interesting. There was a study with monkeys, rhesus monkeys, where this Duke neurobiologist gave these monkeys a very salty snack and gave them a choice of either having their favorite drink, cherry juicy juice, or looking at pictures of high-status monkeys. And they chose looking at the high-status, you know, celebrity monkeys over having a drink. And they actually had to be bribed to look at the pictures of the B-list monkeys. And that tells me that we're hardwired for this. There's something in us. And it goes way back beyond, you know, beyond today. There were celebrity Romans and Greeks. And as long as there's been time, there have been people that, you know, either they were the king or whoever that people gossiped about and were interested in, the people who seem to be living these, you know, glamorous, fabulous lives.
Do you recall the first time, Julie, that you saw a celebrity?
I absolutely do. It was, I was 10 years old, and my brothers and I were staying at my aunt's apartment in Manhattan, and we saw the film critic Gene Shalit on the street. And I mean, that's a pretty low bar for celebrity, but when you're a kid, you know, anybody who's on TV counts. And we actually went to a stationery store, bought pens and paper and tiny little frames, and we waited for him to come out of this restaurant, and we all got his autograph and framed them. And for years, I had this little frame in my room with that just said Gene Shalit, because the paper was very tiny. He couldn't even write anything else. It was so meaningful to me, and, you know, I have celebrity sightings fairly regularly in New York City, and I always get a little lift from them. My friend and I were marching in the Women's March, and she was 5 months pregnant, exhausted. We were very complainy, and it was like we had been like standing in the same place for 5 hours, and we realized that Sigourney Weaver was in front of us, and both of us were like totally energized, you know,
wow,
ready to go, and it was big.
It was big. Sigourney's gotten a little larger through the years, but she's quite a talent, and I think I would be starstruck as well.
Yeah, she was a good one.
Through the years, the definition of a celebrity has evolved too. It's not just people who are on television.
Right. It's you know, since the advent of the internet, we have YouTubers, we have Instagrammers, people who, you know, are on reality TV shows. There's the definition of celebrity has expanded very broadly, and you know, it's not all people who necessarily have a talent.
Well, you point out that the internet has created a whole new world of celebrity, and some of these people, who are obscure to most of the world, have millions of people who follow them.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's astonishing. And, you know, there are certainly a lot of people trying to do that haven't sort of reached that point. You know, they're making the videos or doing the selfies or whatever to try to become famous. There are some people who have whatever that X factor thing is, where people want to look at them and follow them. And I also think that some people like to have, you know, a celebrity they're interested in that isn't Tom Cruise, that isn't the person that a lot of other people want to see, you know, that feels a little more their own. My daughter is 14, and, you know, her friends are very into Taylor Swift, and she really likes David Byrne, and I think she likes the fact that, you know, they aren't all lining up for his picture.
Well, you note that Nothing gets us juiced up more than the sordid spectrum of celebrity scandal. Why are we so immersed in information when somebody famous falls?
You know, I think that we look at them, you know, as I was saying, that they have these perfect charmed lives. They have, you know, they don't seem to have problems from the outside. They look like, you know, they look really great. Their hair is perfect. They are in great shape. They have lots of money and staff and beautiful homes. And I think when there's when they have a problem, there's like a little Schadenfreude thing where you're thinking, well, okay, you may have $10 billion, but my relationship is better than yours, and or my husband isn't, you know, sleeping with so-and-so, or, you know, whatever the thing is. And there's a, you know, I don't think it's coming from, like, a great place, but there is something that, makes you feel like maybe you're better than them, or not as bad, or not so much lower, yeah.
You have a chapter, My Evolving Relationship with Jennifer Aniston. What is this about? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not like a huge magazine buyer, but I do tend to buy magazines with her on the cover, and I didn't really give it a lot of thought. You know, I think I probably, when she was on Friends, I sort of connected with her character. She was sort of floundering and self-deprecating, and I liked her. And, you know, then watching her sort of, you know, kind of blossom and, you know, marry Brad Pitt was sort of, you know, a just amazing fantasy. And, you know, when they broke up, I was devastated. I went into my therapist and said, and she said, "You look so upset. Did something happen?" And I said, "I know this sounds nuts, but I'm really upset about Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt breaking up." And she said, "You have no idea how many of my clients have come in and said that." So it wasn't just me. I call the chapter My Evolving Relationship because I've sort of backed away, you know, as you know, a little bit, where I don't, you know, run after her every move in magazines and so on.
You note that invariably when we're having conversations, we talk about celebrities. And in some cases, celebrities are immersed with others who are famous. Carly Simon is one of those who endorses your book, saying, "I love this book," and kept sneaking away to read it. It seems that the devotion we have to celebrity is not unique to people who are not famous.
Right. I think I actually have had a great response from celebrities who've read it. I think because I have a lot of empathy for them, and I have given their side of the story as well, of what it feels like to be a famous person who may not be able to have this private moment with their kid because somebody comes up and demands a photo or something. You know, they're human beings. And, you know, unfortunately, if you're an actor or a musician, and the only way to be really successful is to be famous. You really can't be a super successful actor or musician, and then no one knows who you are. But there's no instructions on how to deal with that. You know, nobody knows, you know, what it's going to feel like when you can't go places. And some of them handle it really well, and some of them don't handle it really well.
Mm-hmm. Here's a good chapter, and it is funny, particularly about Timothy Hutton, the wisdom of not believing your own hype.
Yes. I mean, one of the things about Timothy Hutton was so great, and I interviewed him, and, you know, he got very, very famous young. He was nominated for an Academy Award when he was 18, and won it, and, you know, was sort of like in this whirlwind of fame, and he never sort of, you know, became a big sunglasses guy. He's really down to earth and cares about being down to earth. I think, you know, he couldn't do it any other way, and he realizes that it is you know, your life. You know, it's not what you think when you look at a celebrity and you think they can do whatever movie they want, or they can pick up the phone and be in whatever TV show or whatever. You know, it's a lot harder and a lot more real. You know, one of the times that I was set to interview him, he was shooting a movie, and he had a terrible flu, and he had a 5 a.m. call and was working until like midnight, and there was nothing he could do about it. He had to do that, and people just don't really look at the hard work aspect of it. They don't want to. I mean, you want to sort of look and say, you know, it's like the money for nothing Dire Straits song. You know, they just walk around with the girls hanging off of them, and that's it.
Julie Clam. Julie, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.